you're with us, if you're joining us this morning, we are in the book of James. We're getting into the heart, to the meat of it all. We're in James 2, and we're going to be going over 14 through 16. Some of you have heard this phrase, all the flavor, but none of the guilt. Zero calories, but the same great taste. Today, virtually every brand has a diet or light version. You can get soda without the sugar. You can get light mayonnaise without the fat. You can get light beer without all the alcohol. And that fashion has spread beyond the food industry as well. You can buy light versions of electronic devices that claim to offer all the same features, but a fraction of the cost and the size and the weight. I was offered light travel insurance on my last trip to Hawaii. All the same coverage, but without the heavy price. Even Facebook has gone into the light with their Messenger Light. All the messaging and all the fun, I guess, of the original, but without eating up your phone's battery. The point is, we all seem to have a constant thirst to get the same experience, to savor the same taste, to enjoy the same benefits, but without the cost, without the inconvenience. We want a life that is heavy on fun, taste, and indulgence, but light on cost, effort, self-control. And one of the main questions in the book of James seems to address this question. Is it possible to have Christianity light? Can I enjoy all the benefits of being saved by Jesus Christ without really having to change anything? Can I count myself into the kingdom of God, but rule him out of ruling in my life? Do I really need to change change how I behave or what I value, because now I call myself a Christian? That's the question that James is really seeking to answer all throughout his letter. And it's the question that he starts out our passage this morning. Verse 14, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Can faith that is merely a verbal expression of loyalty, can it actually save us? Can we have faith without a faith that leads us to deeds? Is it possible to have Christianity light? Well, James gives us an emphatic answer to that question. No, faith light is not an option. But James, being who he is, James doesn't answer in some wordy, dense response. No, James, he gives us pictures, four of them actually. Four pictures that show us that it's simply crazy to think that we can have a saving faith with no fruit in our actions. And the first two pictures he goes over is a counterfeit faith. The so-called faith that really cannot save us. Verse 15. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and the daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This first illustration, the scenario that James paints is almost certainly fictional. But the problem is, it's a little too easy to imagine. We already know that the listeners of James, many of them were not well off. There would have been plenty of people in the church who turned up to that first century church without adequate food, without adequate clothes. And so how is this church then to respond to these people? Well, James tells them here, it's simply not enough just to pronounce blessings upon a brother or sister struggling like that. I'm sorry to hear that you don't have a job. I'll be praying for you that food will come on your table. James says, that is no good. Those words are empty if not accompanied by practical action. Physical needs should be met where possible with physical action. Even John in his first letter says the same thing. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. Real faith, the kind of faith that saves, will result not in hot air, but will result in warm compassion. In the same way, those words, they can be empty without a physical response. And James says, so faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. It's not enough to verbally claim Christ as our Savior and obedience to Him as our Lord. If those claims, if those actions are shown to be true, they must be backed up by our actions. And so we give the second illustration to drive it home. James turns to this second illustration, which is more shocking, more offensive than the first. James imagines a heckler in the middle of his sermon saying, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. You know, isn't it just that there are some Christians who are the doing type of Christians, the practical types? And there are other Christians who say they're the more intellectual or the faith types. You know, you're good at doing that practical mercy ministry stuff. Good for you. But me, you know, me, I'm not that sort of person. I'm more of a faith guy. Personally, deeply, theologically understanding between me and God. And James says, that cannot be. We've seen in this letter that James doesn't respond well to those sort of distinctions, those practical people, those faith theological people. And what he says next is designed to pull us up short. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Your words, he's saying, your words are worthless if they cannot be backed up by your actions. And he goes right to the heart of the Jewish faith. You believe that there is one God. One God. That was the distinctive mark of the Jewish religion in the first century compared to all the other religions around them. That's what made the Jewish religion distinct. It was different because they were monotheistic. The belief that there was only one God. That was their most basic fundamental belief. That is our most basic fundamental belief. But simply declaring that, James says, is no guaranteeing of a saving faith. Even the demons believe that. Friends, you and I, we may be able to express excellent orthodox theology, beliefs about God. You and I may be able to grasp the most complicated theological arguments out there. But we do not have a living faith if those truths make no difference to how we live. Even the demons make some response to the truth that they know about God. It says they shudder at His holiness and at His power. And if you and I are unmoved by what we know about God, then really we've known nothing at all. Charles Minton put it this way, it is a good thing to possess an accurate theology, but it is unsatisfactory unless that good theology also possesses us. James is clear. There are low-calorie, low-cost, lightweight versions of faith out there. But they're not the real thing. They're not a living, saving faith. Mere words count for nothing if they're not accompanied by actions. Such faith, he says, that such faith is dead. So we must ask then, what is the real thing? What is a genuine saving faith? Show me a faith that works. So James goes into two more illustrations. Illustrations, though, from real life. From the history of God's people. Illustration of faith that works. And it's in these verses that we're going to look at that we're going to reach the climax of the book of James. it's so vital for us to understand what James is saying and what James is not saying. So let's read from verse 20. "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." Someone's going to need to change it for me. You see that the person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. For us Protestants, October 31st is over 500 years ago. German theologian Martin Luther started the Reformation. The Reformation would be a profound effect on the church across the globe. But one of the central truths of the gospel that Luther and his fellow reformers were so acute on for the people of God to rediscover was that you, that I, are saved by faith alone. It was as if if Martin Luther was carefully reading Paul's letter to the Romans. Luther himself was relieved of the crippling attempts to earn God's favor that he pursued throughout his life as a monk. He read that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And he realized this wonderful freeing truth that salvation in Jesus Christ offers is not one that depends on the laws of God. He realizes that we can do nothing to earn our salvation. He realized salvation must be freely, graciously given by our God. And faith alone became one of the pillars of the Protestant church. So you see that, and you look at this passage, and years of theologians have been unsettled then by James' words. He says in verse 24 that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. How on earth can we fathom that? How on earth can we fathom what we know of Paul and what James says? Well, so often when we come to difficult passages in Scripture, correctly understanding the context into which they were written is key. Understanding what the writer meant then leads us to better understand to what God is saying to us now. You see, Paul was writing to instruct his hearers in the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that a righteousness apart from the law had been made known. And that is through Jesus Christ. It is not possible for human beings to be made right by God. Not by striving or working all the harder, but by putting their faith in Jesus Christ, the one who perfectly fulfilled the law. Paul was writing to those who were suggesting you need the gospel plus. The gospel plus circumcision. You need the gospel plus Jewish food laws. Plus the ancient festival days. No, Paul says you need Jesus Christ alone. It is through faith that you are declared not guilty. And James would agree with that. The whole premise of our passage this morning is that faith saves. But the question is, what kind of faith is it that saves? And James wants to highlight that although faith alone saves, saving faith never remains alone. It is even possible that James was writing to counter people who had misrepresented Paul's position. Some were suggesting because of what Paul said, they were free to live the way they wanted to. Faith alone? I'm saved by faith alone, then surely it doesn't matter what I do. My actions have no consequence. James, he certainly knew of that teaching. He certainly knew what was going on. And he knew that Paul was being misrepresented. And so he writes to correct those who were using faith alone as a passport for immoral living. He writes to combat Christianity light. James says true faith, the kind of faith that saves, is shown to be true by what you do. And we see this in the third illustration. That's where the example of Abraham comes in. Paul uses Abraham elsewhere, and James quotes him here. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as a righteousness, righteous. That comes, I don't know if you know the story of Abraham, but that comes chronically first in Abraham's story. He was declared righteous years before he was circumcised, years before, centuries before Moses was given the law. That's the point. His faith is what saved Abraham. But, and that's an important but that James says, we cannot see that Abraham had a saving faith except by his subsequent obedience. Abraham's faith was proven to be genuine when he did as God commanded. Even at taking his own son, Isaac, his longed for, promised, cherished son, the one who it was believed that with promises of God were surely to be fulfilled, taking that son, binding that son to sacrifice him to the obedience of to his God. There, in that moment, Abraham's faith was made complete. Not because it was lacking anything, but because it was shown to be true. It was shown to be living, life-giving, saving faith. The choice for James is not between faith and works. The choice is between a living faith that bears inevitable fruit in our actions, or a dead faith, which is actually no faith at all. Paul was concerned to show us the way to salvation. James is concerned to show us the fruits of salvation. True faith never remains alone. John MacArthur said this perfectly about James and Paul. James and Paul are not standing face to face fighting each other. They are standing back to back fighting different enemies of the gospel. So James completes his core set of illustrations by making this sort of saving faith. This faith, he's saying in this last illustration, it's available to everyone. You see, I think many of James's readers, they expected Abraham to be in there. After all, Abraham was their shining faith of obedience. He was shown to be genuine. But now James moves from the patriarch to the prostitute. Verse 25. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Even Rahab, a prostitute, a non-Jewish prostitute, part of a people who actively opposed Israel's entry into the land, even she was capable of the sort of living that faith saves. How do we know that? It's because of her actions. Her faith in the foreign God of Israel. Her belief that whatever the consequences, she must align herself to Yahweh. And that faith was shown to be genuine. Not only by what she said, but what she did. Today, we know this man as John Wesley. He's best known as the founder of the Methodist Church. But at one time before that, he was an Anglican clergyman. A clergyman, though, who knew nothing of the saving faith that brings life. He was a worker. He was a missionary. He was one of the first missionaries who traveled to North America as it was being opened to the Europeans. He woke up at 4 a.m. every morning. He memorized the New Testament of the Bible in Greek. He slept on the floor in hoping to increase his merit before God. And in his journal, as he was traveling across the Atlantic, he wrote, "I came to convert the heathen, but who will convert me?" In May of 1738, John Wesley wrote in his journal that his spirit was marked with strange indifference, dullness, coldness, and unusual frequent lapses into sin. But on May 24th in 1738, he walked into a meeting where Luther's commentary was being read on Romans. And he discovered that salvation was by faith alone. He wrote in his journal later that day, his heart was strangely warm as he felt the assurance of being saved, not through his own efforts, but through Christ. He was saved by faith alone. But you know what? That faith didn't remain alone. If it were possible somehow, John Wesley worked even harder. He averaged 4,500 miles a year. He rode 60 to 70 miles a day, preached 3 sermons a day on average. Over the next 50 years, he wrote 42,000 sermons. John Wesley's faith was proved living, vital, genuine by his deeds. Being saved by faith alone, it didn't cause inactivity in him. It led to a life of wholehearted commitment, sustained not by his own efforts, but by the Holy Spirit who indwells in those who have a true saving faith. For John Wesley, it was a faith that worked. So friends, we are gloriously, graciously, wonderfully saved by faith alone. There is no such thing as Christianity light. Saving faith is a sort of faith that calls for lifelong, wholehearted commitment. That's what it means to have Jesus Christ not only as your Savior, but as your Lord. And saving faith is a sort of faith that changes us through the work of the Holy Spirit. Each and every week, the ministries of Winnersburg are funded by the generous giving of those who come here. Many of our regular givers give online. But as we saw before, we still include offering in each service. Not primarily because of the money it yields, but because it is one of the corporate acts that we as a church family take part in. It demonstrates our faith is a faith not only of words, but also of action. And each week we acknowledge the giving of the church in this way. We are together declaring that we will not only listen to the word, but we will do what it says with our money, with our skill, with our time, with our lives. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Let us take time to consider now to recommit ourselves to a life of faith. Faith lived out, not empty words, but dynamic deeds. Not faith light, but a saving faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we are saved by faith alone through your grace. Because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We are not saved by coming to church, reading our Bible. We're saved by our faith and our trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. May we never forget it. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.